You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to the Nature Connections show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. I'm delighted to welcome Sheila Hicks Balgobin to the show today. And before I bring Sheila in, I'd just like to introduce to you the subject of today's show, which is a fascinating one and quite different from shows that we've had previously. So between June and December 2014, a pilot study funded by the Batch Centre and the 12 Healers Trust examined the potential of essence therapy on reducing stress amongst emergency and health service workers. Sheila led the research project, helped by David Corr, who prepared the statistics and final report. So welcome, Sheila.
Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Yes, so as a flower essence practitioner and flower essence producer yourself, it's lovely to have you on the show. And, well, so first of all, thank you for doing this study. You know, as both of us are members and representing the British Flower and Vibrational Essence Association as well here, it's really lovely to have some research.
Yes.
It's the beginning stages for us, isn't it?
It is. There's still a lot of resistance to complementary therapy studies in general because they don't fit the framework of the double-blind placebo-controlled trials, which is like the gold standard. Being that we work with the person and not the disease, it makes standardized research difficult because you are working with individuals and all of the baggage that comes along with them, so that there's no kind of cookie cutter remedy for everyone because everyone's an individual.
Mm-hmm. But you did, and we'll talk about this as we go along, you did obviously your best to set up the study so that we could see exactly what the process is, and it was a very positive one, and obviously we're going to talk about that. So, but first of all, what encouraged you or inspired you to do this research? Was it something from your own background?
Well, yes and no. I had always wanted to do a piece of research around flower essences in some way, because I knew what they had done for me personally and for my clients in the larger sense. The original idea came when I was in my final year of psychotherapy training and had hoped to get funding from the British Association for Counseling and Psychotherapy, or BACP. They had some funding available for what they called seed corn funding, to do a small piece of research. I submitted the request in an application, and it was soundly rejected, saying that flower essences weren't considered a valid modality. And I said, oh, but the World Health considers it a valid modality, but you don't. No problem. Which kind of left me a bit out of sorts. I mean, I was looking to my professional organization to support me, and it didn't. But I persevered, and it was the suggestion of actually Stefan Ball from the Batch Center, whom you've interviewed in the past as well, and said, well, why don't you apply to the Batch Center? And someone else suggested the 12 Healers Trust, and which in the end was the appropriate place for it to go because they're interested in research with vibrational essences. And they submitted applications to them, and they did co-funding. Mm-hmm. So they co-sponsored the study. So and that's where it went. I mean, the the venue that or the facility that was that made it possible had changed. The client group had changed as well. This was a chameleon like a chameleon like pilot study, because it shed lots of skins during its lifetime. It was quite incredible.
Yeah. Well, it was lovely that it was supported. As we know, when we do anything the first time around, and particularly in a modality that is new to this kind of research, we learn a lot, and you have done a lot, and you're sharing that learning here. So I think something that's quite interesting that listeners might want to find out more about was that why you chose the emergency and health service workers to work with.
They
do have stressful jobs, but I think there's more to it than that.
Well, yes. My original idea when I went to BACP was to work with soldiers returning from conflict. And all of the organizations that work with veterans were completely against the idea. I mean, I had doors slamming in my face before I could even get the question out. So then a colleague, a fellow Essence practitioner, and who also is a serving police officer, had said that perhaps working with the police might be a good idea, and it was something that she personally was interested in. And with the help of this particular practitioner, I went to liaise with various police departments, not just in London, but in around the UK, trying to garner interest. And that was a bit of hard going, but we had to end up broadening things out exactly because of this. So it went from being the police to emergency services workers. So that was police, fire brigade, paramedics, and so forth. And that was the ultimately was the best way to be able to gather some people without too much stress and trouble. People had to self-refer. And that was another issue altogether as well with regard to recruitment. There was some resistance, whether it was overt or covert, there was resistance that was exhibited on the part of the official bodies, if you will, of these various branches of service.
Mm-hmm. Do you think part of that was any reluctance to admit to being stressed?
I believe so. Part of my own particular personal background is that a number of my own family, about half in fact, works in law enforcement or the military, and so that there's this thin blue line that must be maintained, and admitting weakness could be considered fatal in some cases, so that there's it's very difficult for people in certain professions mm-hmm. to admit to being weak or to admit to needing help.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, particularly with these professions, but it's something that runs through our society, really, isn't it, as well?
Yes.
You know, it's a lot of where a lot of the healing energies have been going with bringing through the softer, more gentle energies, showing that being vulnerable is actually a source of strength.
Yes, that's right. We've been, heaven help you if you show weakness in the jungle, you'll get eaten alive, I suppose, yeah. Seems to be the prevailing yeah. attitude.
Yeah. So just by using flower essences would actually have softened that. So it's lovely. And from my own quite personal point of view, I think it's very beautiful to have essences going out into these services, because as we know, when we begin to take essences just by our presence, we kind of allow that energy to go out. So these people who have taken part will actually be doing different work now because of that.
Yes, Yes.
So it does. It is not just about the small sample, which unfortunately is what turned out, but it's about seeing that as going outwards and affecting many more people.
Yes, I hope so. I mean, that, to give you an example, a client that I worked with in, specifically, I would print out each month, I would print out a graphic representation of where the different four functional areas that we measured had changed, showing the changes from the previous month. She was so impressed at the end of the 6 months by the results that were shown graphically that she actually asked for copies that she could show her boss. And I'm hoping that perhaps that will plant a seed.
Absolutely.
And go forth, and perhaps a larger, more substantial study, one that is even more rigorous than I was able to make it as a pilot study, can happen to explore some of the issues that came up as a result of the study.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's very, very positive. So I think it would also be very interesting for people, and I'd like to know as well, how you actually measured the research. And within the British Flower and Vibration Essence Association, and certainly I do this with my diploma students, we use a research tool called MIMOP, Measure Yourself Medical Outcome Profile. But you chose a different system, didn't you?
So yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it's called CoreOM, CORE hyphen OM, like the OM in when you're meditating. And it was designed specifically for therapy work, for people working in therapies, psychological or otherwise. So that there's a 34 question questionnaire that is that looks through these different functions, these four functions that they identify, and you also do a reprise at the end. So there's an initial assessment where you go through these 34 questions, and which includes assessing risk for self-harm or suicide. And you do the final assessment. There were also forms that we would use to collect data from month to month, called Core 10, so that we could measure what changes were happening in those four different areas during the each month. And so it's quite, I'm not a techie person, I'm not a stats person, but in terms of being able to collate the data so that it becomes what I call report speak, it actually will, you can extract the data and be able to draw your conclusions from it. So, and what's great about it, it can be done on a multi-site basis so that if people in different places are able to submit their data to one place and have it all collated.
Okay.
So it's quite sophisticated. We had to actually get training to use it and buy a license for it for a year and what have you. But they were very good, both with the training and support. And when I look at the final report, I'm glad that we used it because it really did enable David Kaur, who graciously wrote the report, and I thank God every day that he did. I could have never done this. I've done reports, but never one like this, and I wanted it to be done correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, much gratitude to David for doing that, yeah. So it sounds as if the CoreOM is a much more sophisticated system than the MIMOP, the Measure Yourself Medical Outcome Profile, which is one of its advantages, but also, it's never a disadvantage, but it plays into which tool you might use at any time.
Yes, and I think if you're wanting to do a substantial, in-depth study, that will stand a chance of being taken seriously by what I call the PTBs, the powers that be, it needs to be a method of data collection that allows for that scrutiny that is required.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit now about the really important bit as to what happened. So I guess the big question is what happened, and did Essence Therapy help reduce stress in the participants?
Well, our initial, as I have to stress that this is a pilot study, that it is a very small sample. There was a total of 12 people who participated. 11 we were able to collect data for. So it's an extremely small sample, but we're encouraged by the results because 75% of the participants stated that there was a clear improvement in their stress levels, and their final evaluations showed that there was more awareness, a less reactiveness to future stress. That wasn't true in the case, however, of two people, but their work situations, they admit, had deteriorated significantly, which contributed to a great deal of additional stress. But in prior to that point, their scores had been improving. Mm-hmm. So what we do know is that, yes, there was a significant decrease. And the individual remedies, and that's something that to talk about as well. The way we set up the research to be done, we had two groups: one that received individualized remedies. Mm-hmm. So according to flower essence or vibrational essence practice, yeah. That we treat the individual and not the disease. Mm-hmm. So that they received each month what was felt appropriate for them to have at that time. The other group, however, was a functional control group, which took rescue remedy only, and the results from the two were quite interesting. The individual remedies, the group of people in the individual remedies group showed clear and significant shifts in the positive sense and overall. But in the shorter term, the rescue remedy group seemed to have done better, which threw up some interesting ideas, because some of the therapists themselves, the practitioners who were treating those rescue remedy clients, may perhaps have compensated in some way energetically for what they because they felt uncomfortable, and it stated they felt uncomfortable using only rescue remedy. Mm-hmm. So they devised different ways of compensating on an energetic level, and there's no way of measuring that, and there's no way of knowing what complex factors came together, whether it's the therapeutic alliance or something else, that contributed to this. What seemed to be a significant improvement over a shorter period of time, but whereas the individual remedies over the full 6 months seemed to give better results. It's quite fascinating, and I'm not...
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because rescue remedy just in itself is the essence that you would give to somebody possibly in the first instance to alleviate acute stress, and
yes,
with the Star of Bethlehem and all the rock rose, it contains mm-hmm. essences that would address the emotional responses to being in an environment which is extraordinarily stressful. So
yes,
it's a great essence to take, basically, and is a great testimony to its effectiveness. So yes, mm-hmm. interesting, isn't it? Very, very interesting how that worked out.
Yeah. The other thing that was interesting is that the level of perhaps resistance, subtle and not so subtle, in the recruitment process, it was largely self-referral. And the best response that we were able to get initially were from paramedics. There seemed to be less of a, maybe because they're more in a caring oriented profession, that they were more open to coming forward for something like this. The other branches were, as I said, the other services were a bit more reticent for various reasons. But what I was encouraged by is that one police officer who participated said, well, if I'm doing something to improve my state of mind and my health, and I'm doing it on my own time, and it's none of my employer's business what I do to improve my life on my time off. And I was encouraged by that, because it seemed that those 12 people or 11 people that we got data for recognized that if they needed to do something to change their situation and not wait for someone else to kind of hand them something, but they went out for it for themselves. And I'm sure that had something to do with the results that they experienced as well, because they were open to it. Mm. And I hope that they take back those experiences, which seems to have been positive for all of them, and tell other people about it. Maybe another study, a more in-depth study with a larger group of people, it could show that there really is something behind all of this that could be useful and could save the NHS and other groups loads and loads of money. In Cuba, for example, they issue fluorescences on their National Health Service because for mild to moderate depression, it is cheaper and more effective than tricyclic antidepressants. And I love telling people that. Absolutely love it.
And it's all, it's straight out of a medical health service. So the statistics are there, South America is a very inspiring country in that way, very, very inspiring. So it was a small study, which I know was a little bit disappointing for you because you put in such a lot of hard work, but it is a study. And, you confirm this with me, but I think it's just worth really highlighting that I believe that 75% of the participants found a beneficial result.
Yes, they did. Like I said, even given the small study, that's fine. But if that were to be ramped up to greater than 30 participants, that would be a phenomenal success rate. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, statistically speaking, I mean, it may not make us jump up and down, but for statisticians, they'd be in heaven. Because that is a very, very successful rate of return.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have any advice to any other people, whether they are part of the British Flower Vibrational Essence Association or outside, maybe part of the Batch Foundation, who might be considering carrying out a research project? What advice would you give them?
Take lots of essences. Lots and lots of essences to keep yourself sane. Make sure you have a good support team. And to especially be very, very focused and narrow in what it is you're trying to do. Because if you have, like I did, I had to keep opening things up, going from soldiers to police officers to emergency services workers, to be able to capture even the small number of people that I had. So that making sure that you can have the ability to access the client population that you're looking for. I mean, some people suggested teachers because that's less political. And I said, I'm not sure. But I think those are the three basic things that really are absolutely essential.
Yeah. Well, I've actually learnt a load by listening or speaking to you today. I had actually already read the report through my own role in the British Flower Vibrational Essence Association, but it's just, I've learnt so much by just talking to you today, Sheila. So again, thank you for sharing this with us today, but also for just taking the time to do this, because I know it was something that you did do in your own time, and obviously the repercussions and how this goes out into the wider world is very significant, very, very significant, and which is again why it's important that it goes out on the show.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity to talk about it a bit. It's been the first time I've really had the chance to kind of put my baby out there in the world and see what steps it takes. But what I would suggest that if people are interested in learning more about the study itself or learning more about how essences can help them to use to reduce their own stress levels. First thing I would say is look on the BFEEA website or the Batch Center website for links for the full report. There will also be a brief summary report written for Essence Magazine, the BFEEA magazine, that will come out at some point in the future. But people can contact me directly. I have a free stress-busting 101 sessions that people can book online with me. And I can tell you about how essences could help you in your daily life to reduce stress.
It's your personal mission, isn't it? Essences and stress-busting, as you call it, is what you do, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, along with other things, but primarily the essences, yes.
Yeah, and stress busting is your mission.
Yep, absolutely.
You're the stress busting queen.
Yeah, it's just managing to also learn how to keep my own stress levels under control. So it's a learning process for me as well.
Well, that's the same for all of us, isn't it? I think
absolutely.
We are all humans. Spreading the energy in the world of what has personally helped us, that spurs us on, certainly for me too. Now, you have your own range of essences as well, don't you, which work very well with stress?
Yes, they do. It's Spirit of Makasutu Essences, 38 essences that were made in Gambia and West Africa, as well as Jamaica and Florida. Mm-hmm. And I have an essence to be that's kind of waiting in the wings to make its debut. It's a sea essence. It's called Ocean Life. Mm-hmm. It's an environmental essence that wanted to be made to remind people about water is our life, and there's very little of it left, actual drinking water. I mean, non-salted water is becoming very, very, very scarce around the world. So to remember that the sea is a very important resource, and if we start to kill it, we came from the sea and we'll end up going back to it, but not the way we expect if we don't do something to take care of it.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, thank you, Sheila. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for everything that you do in the essence world. And thank you for just bringing this research project through and sharing it with us today. I hope lots of people find out about it and are inspired by your work.
I hope so. That's my wish. And I thank you again for the opportunity to talk a little bit about what happened during those 6 months of my life.
Well, we'll flag up on the Natural Health Radio site how people can find out more. So thank you very, very much, Sheila. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome back to the Nature Connections show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio, and my name is Sarah Turner. Now, in this part of the show, I always like to share with you some inspiration about flower essences and how they can help us all become better versions of ourselves very safely and very effectively. So today I'd like to talk about some very common flowers or plants that most probably, if you live in the Northern Hemisphere, are flowering or growing in your back garden at a certain time of year. Or if you live in the city, you could find them very easily in local parkland or maybe even by the side of the road. And inspired by listening to Jo Barker a little bit earlier, where she was talking about living alongside the land and also foraging and our ability to find food everywhere, it inspired me to think of the flowers as well that grow alongside us, that very often we take for granted, but actually have messages for us and can help us in many ways. So first of all, let me explain to you a little bit about flower essences, as some of you may be listening for the first time and may not know exactly what they are and how they can be used. Many people confuse flower essences with essential oils. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between them. Now, essential oil has a fragrance, and its fragrance is in part its therapeutic effect, because it allows the brain to release certain chemicals. With a flower essence, there is no fragrance at all, and very often people are surprised. They ask to smell the bottle and are surprised when most of the time all they can smell is brandy or a little bit of vodka. Now, flower essences are quite different from essential oils, although both can be used to help the emotional and spiritual parts of ourselves to feel better, to move back more into balance. The difference between the two is that essential oils are actually made from the physical flower or stem or root of the plant, whereas with the flower essence, there is nothing physical about the actual essence. Flower essences are made by floating blooms of flowers in water, in pure water, usually in sunlight, although it can also be done in moonlight. And then the flowers are removed, and what is left is charged water. And there a special alchemy has happened between the sun and the water and the flower, and this has allowed the flower to release its energy into the water. The water is then preserved in brandy, and this gives us our mother tincture, which is then diluted down to stock and then to dosage levels. So when you actually come to smell, if you were to do this, a flower essence, you won't actually smell the flower at all, but you most likely be able to smell the preservative, which is brandy, which of course is needed to allow the water to stop bacteria growing in the water. So because flowers are vibrational in nature, meaning that they aren't physical in any way, they have no contraindications at all and can be very, very safely used on all age groups, including tiny babies, can be used very easily during pregnancy. They can be used very easily by the elderly or anybody who's very poorly, and they're very, very safe to use. So that is the main difference between flower essences and essential oils. Now, every flower that we meet or plant or tree not only possibly has a herbal remedy connected to it, maybe a homeopathic remedy, maybe an essential oil too, but most often the flower, or in fact all the time, the flower or the tree or the plant also has its own signature and its own ability to bring a part of us back into balance. And that's really the role of the flower essence practitioner, is to know this craft and to be able to match flower essences and gem essences and environmental essences to the emotional state of the person. So today, now that you know a little bit about flower essences and understand how they work, I'd like to talk to you about some flowers that grow very, very commonly here in the UK and can be found at most times of year, including right now, and I'm recording this show in December, early December, that when you see them, we often tend to think of them as a little bit about weeds and we don't take too much notice of them, but actually they have their own signatures, they have their own lives and messages for us. So this is the theme of the next 10 minutes or so. So the first essence that I'd like to talk to you about is the nettle essence. Now I'm sure you're very familiar with the nettle plant. Many people see it as a weed that they would rather not have in their gardens, and that's understandable, of course, because it can sting. Yet in herbal medicine, nettle is an amazing tonic. It's also a homeopathic remedy, urtica, which is used to help with skin irritations. And it's an extraordinary plant, and it's used very, very widely and can be a great, great friend to us at different parts of our lives and in different seasons. What many people don't realize is that nettle is also a flower essence. And of course, in this case, the flowers of the nettle are placed in water, as I explained earlier, and the water is charged with the signature, with the vibration of the nettle flower. So what does nettle essence do? Well, having a small idea of the nettle plant, and as we've just said, it stings, it has a repellent effect, it tries to keep us away from it so that we don't touch certain parts of it. This is also a signature of the essence. So nettle essence is a very, very easily used essence and can be used by many of us because it's actually all about oversensitivity to our surroundings. Now, so many of us are sensitive nowadays, and very often we don't realize this. And a sensitive person can get very easily overwhelmed by too much information coming towards them. Now, this could actually be in a literal sense when they are extremely busy. Some of us cope better with this than others. So if you are somebody or you know somebody who gets quite overwhelmed when there's too much going on around them, this could be an indication for somebody who would be helped by nettle. Now, of course, this information that's coming towards us might not be of a physical, tangible nature. And nettle essence is also very, very useful for anybody that's affected by Wi-Fi from electromagnetic energy, for the unseen energies of the mobiles, of the laptops, of the iPods, even televisions nowadays, the masts that we have around us. So all the time, especially if we live in more urban areas, there is a energy coming towards us and that is having a conversation with our energy systems all the time, whether we realize it consciously or not. And some people are very affected by this electromagnetic energy. It can be very tiring for them. And also, so it stops them from taking advantage of the internet and other aspects of modern life, such as mobile phones. So nettle essence can be very, very useful if you recognize yourself within this description, because nettle essence helps to repel any energy that comes towards you and helps to reconnect people. And how it does this is actually by reconnecting people back down to the earth. So rather than the energy getting stuck or having too many detailed conversations with the energy body, it actually allows the energy to root through the body into the earth, which discharges the energy. And when this happens, people are much less overwhelmed by this energy that's coming towards them. I got to know this essence really, really well quite a few years ago when one of my clients was a very old gentleman cat called Barney. And Barney had suffered from epilepsy for quite a few years. And on my recommendation, his owner started using nettle essence with Barney, and we found that for the remaining years of his life, and this was over 5 years, and Barney lived until he was 20 without any medication at all from the vet, although of course the owner did take Barney to the vet and he was regularly checked over. There was just a wish for him not to take medication, and Barney was quite happy with this. Barney used nettle essence along with some other flower essences as well, but it worked really, really well with his epilepsy, as it happens. And the fitting, because the stress in his system was much, much less, the fitting actually diminished and allowed him to live a much more harmonious and balanced life. He still did have the occasional fit, but it was so different than before. So, of course, flower essences don't treat epilepsy. Oh no, so if you have a condition like this, and of course you do need to go and see your local GP or natural health practitioner, flower essences are a therapy that is used alongside as a complementary modality, but can be very, very useful, as I've explained, to help repel any energies that come towards you that are not resonant with your own. So I hope this helps you to see the nettle plant in a whole new way and to discover an extra healing ability that this plant has over and above the herbal and homeopathic benefits that many, many people know about. And next time that you meet a nettle plant, maybe you will have a little bit more respect and reverence for this extraordinary plant that is so, so helpful to us to deal with overwhelm. The nettle essence that I use in my own practice is nettle flower essence from the Alaskan range, and you can find out about this by visiting their website, alaskanessences.com. There are other producers that make this essence, so you may well also find one that resonates with you by having a look on the internet. The second plant or flower that I'd like to talk to you about today is the pansy, and it's always been such a delight to me that as the darker days arrive and most of nature withdraws into herself, the pansy grows throughout the winter. She may not like the snow very much, and I often watch the pansies in my own garden that bloom in these darker months of the year. When the snow arrives, they get covered up. And I always think to myself, oh, well, that's the end of the pansies. That's such a shame. They were blooming so beautifully. And then when the snow melts, just magically the plants sit up again and they start their wonderful job of flowering again. So the winter flowering pansy is a great, great delight to those of us who live in the colder climates. And right now, many window boxes and gardens are actually being graced by the lovely pansy. So let's talk a little bit about pansy flower essence. And again, I'd love you to connect with this flower in maybe a broader way and see her healing abilities as well as her extraordinary ability to lift our hearts in the darker months, which of course is linked to the picture that I'm going to describe to you very shortly. So the pansy is often in herbal lore connected to the heart, partly due to her shape, and in some areas she's actually known as heart's ease. She also often has three colours, or the traditional pansy is a purple or violet colour, a yellow and white. So there's also three colours within her, which is extraordinarily beautiful to look at. Now, in the flower essence world, the pansy is known as an energetic immune system builder. Now, again, this flower essence is not to be taken to build your physical immune system. There are many herbal tonics that can help you in that way. This is more of an energetic immune system builder. And let me explain what I mean by that. So in the darker months of the year, or maybe in darker months of our lives, we all need tonics, energetic tonics that help us feel stronger and act more strongly and more vibrantly in the world. So pansy is one of these essences that can help us really turn our faces to the world and have courage. Now, she does this by helping to clear negative energy from our heart spaces. She clears negative thoughts and allows a more positive outlook to come towards you. So in these darker phases of our lives, whether it's because we have a physical diagnosis or we have very challenging circumstances happening to us in our lives, often we become resigned to the fact that this is just the way it is and this is what we have to get on with and there are no other possibilities. Now, Pansy helps us to open new doors and new windows in our energy system and therefore in our minds, and helps us to expand outwards and see that just maybe there are some other possibilities. So just like winter time, when it does seem as if the night is very, very long and we have to learn the qualities of endurance and courage as we go out into the colder weather, Pansy helps us face those challenges and really allows us to be uplifted and see that there is maybe another way to actually be with what's going on around us. So in this way, you can really see that Pansy is a wonderful immune builder. And alongside any medication that you may be taking from your mainstream doctor or from any other complementary health practitioners, Pansy would be a wonderful addition to really help you, your energy self, your energetic self, remain strong and vibrant and positive in somewhat challenging situations. So as I mentioned beforehand, flower essences can be taken very, very safely by all people and can be taken very safely alongside any other medication or therapies you may be choosing to use. And of course, it's always an idea to discuss any modality with your health practitioner. Now, the Pansy essence that I use in my practice, I actually have several different Pansy essences, and I choose the one that feels the most right at the time. I work with the FES, the Flower Essence Services Pansy. I also work with the Fox Mountain Pansy Essence, and I also have a Pansy Essence in my own range of Moonflower Essences. So I hope that next time you meet a Pansy in somebody's window box, in your garden center, or indeed growing in your own garden, that you will look at her in a whole new way and thank her for her gifts of helping you build a stronger energetic immune system. And to finish today's Nature Connection show, I'd like to briefly mention to you, as we're actually going to feature this range and the producer Leela Davey on a program very, very soon on one of our Nature Connection shows, is the Spirit in Nature range of flower essences. Now, what's absolutely unique and extraordinary about this range is that it is made exclusively from the flowers of fruits and vegetables. Now, I'm mentioning them here because we've been talking today about flower essences that can be made or are made from the flowers, the trees, the plants that grow around us, that we maybe meet very regularly and don't think necessarily too much about, except if we have herbal medicine or aromatherapy qualifications. And we certainly, most of us, don't think that the flowers could actually have any healing benefits. So this is one of my passions, is to help people see that as well as being extraordinarily beautiful, flower essences or flowers themselves, the blooms, do have messages for us. And when we take them, when we ingest them or apply them as essences, they can bring about extraordinary shifts of energy in the body. So just a couple that I'd like to mention today of from the Spirit and Rachel range is spinach essence. Now, we all know spinach is a vegetable, but if we don't eat it and the flower actually, the plant bolts, then it produces this tiny yellow flower, which is the spinach flower. And this would be wonderful at this time of year because it has an ability to allow us to be carefree and playful. The other one that I'd like to mention, which also has a yellow flower, which is also quite known to us, is the tomato flower. And of course, this is if we don't touch the flower, it becomes a tomato. And the tomato flower is known as the warrior flower. So it's a wonderful essence also to take it this year if you need courage and you need to walk forwards with your warrior mentality and strength and commitment behind what you're doing and saying and the path that you are leading in life. So that's the spirit in nature essences, and you can find them. They have a website called Spirit in Nature, and you can buy them easily. They are an American range, and you can also buy them here in the UK. So I hope you've enjoyed today's Nature Connections show. I've really enjoyed talking to Joe and to connecting us all back to the flowers and to the healing messages that they can bring us when we choose to just stop and pay attention and live alongside these beautiful beings that grace our earth. So I look forward to seeing you next week and to sharing some more Nature Connections with you. Thank you. Many blessings to you. Goodbye. You're listening to Natural Health Radio.
She'll take me when I die. There's an angel.